afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports Update. The Kansas City Chiefs have begun working on a potential record-setting deal for receiver and electrifying return man Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs have been working on getting their finances in order to franchise-tagged linebacker Dee Ford and reportedly making pass rusher Justin Houston available for trade to the rest of the league. Hill breaking out in 2018, 1,479 yards receiving, 14 touchdowns, including a punt return touchdown as well. The Chiefs leading the NFL in total offense and points scored in 2018, and the 5'10" speedster is set to become a free agent in 2020. He was named an All-Pro and made his third straight Pro Bowl, arguably the fastest man in the NFL. The current top contract at the wide receiver position is the 5-year, $90 million deal that Odell Beckham signed with the Giants in August. In a surprise non-move, the Giants have informed safety Landon Collins he won't be franchise tagged. The Giants are allowing this man to walk out the door, and he's a good one, a three-time Pro Bowler, first-team All-Pro in 2016, defensive captain and true leader, missed only 5 games in 4 years and is 25 years old. Weird one here, non-tagging Collins has been a very unpopular move with Giant Nation. The Patriots are not going to use their franchise tag on defensive end Trey Flowers, left tackle Trent Brown, or kicker Steven Gostkowski. All three were prime candidates to receive a tag today. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have reached a 3-year deal with left tackle Jonathan Smith worth $41.25 million. Despite the Lakers' playoffs hopes dwindling, LeBron James talking against, he says, hey, nobody's going to shut him down. After Monday's loss to the Clip Joint, the Lakers sit 5.5 games back of the Spurs for the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. The Lakers have 18 games left to make up the difference. Not very likely. Yankees ace Luis Severino today scratched from a spring training start with shoulder discomfort. He is going to have an MRI. We're holding our breath there. The New York Mets have hired ESPN baseball analyst Jessica Mendoza to the front office. The new duties include providing insight to the GM, as well as focusing on health and performance, player evaluation, roster construction, and technological advancement. The new gig with the Mets will not affect her Sunday night baseball analyst gig as well. She is the latest notable name to be hired by the Mets this week. Ex-pitchers Al Leiter and John Franco were hired yesterday. 6 games in the NBA hardwood tonight. Chicago at Indiana. Pacers -7, 219. Orlando at Philly. The Sixers laying 3.5, 223.5. Oklahoma City at Minnesota. T-Wolves a 1-point fave, 236. Houston Rockets at Toronto. Good one there. Raptors 3, 228. These teams also announcing they're going to meet in future preseason game in China. Announced Monday. Elsewhere, Portland -6 against Memphis. Total 216. And Boston and Golden State is the late game tonight. Warriors laying 7, 228 is your over-under. Three people were convicted in a pay-for-play scheme today aimed at steering recruits in Adidas sponsorship programs, and they've been sentenced to multiple months in prison. Former Adidas executive James Gatto, business manager Christian Dawkins, and Merle Code were convicted of conspiracy to commit wire fraud in October for funneling illegal payments to families of recruits to Louisville, Kansas, and North Carolina State. Prosecutors say coaches teamed up with the Adidas executive and others to hunt for hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes to influence star athletes' choice of schools, footwear, agents, and tailors. The question I have is, hey, Gabe, what's going on here? What are the coaches going to do time? Obviously, these guys knew something about this. We'll get to the bottom of this problem. Looks like a couple scapegoats here. I think more are going to be indicted a little bit later. Let's take a look at this college basketball scene tonight. Number 19, Buffalo at Ohio. Ohio Bobcats, Bulls 12-159. Number 4, Duke hosting Wake Forest. Duke star Zion Williamson out for a 4th straight game tonight. He won't play. He was questionable. Blue Devils -26-153. Nebraska at number 9, Michigan State. The Spartans laying 13-138. Good one in the ACC. Number 15, Virginia Tech at number 14, Florida State. The Seminoles 4-point favorites, over under 136. North Carolina -10.5 at Boston College, over under 158. Number 11, Purdue -5.5 against the Minnesota Golden Gophers, 140 total. Number 5, Tennessee. They're playing Mississippi State. Vols are favored in this one, -8-145. Kentucky, they're 5-point favorites at Ole Miss, 138. Kansas, a good one in the Big 12, -1.5 at Oklahoma, 143. And 17th-ranked Nevada, they are laying 13.5 at Air Force in this one. Total, 146. Busy night in the National Hockey League. We got 10 games on the ice. We're going to break them all down. Hey, everybody, stick around. We got a jam-packed show today. Keep it locked to the Fantasy Sports Network for all your entertainment needs. Gabe Morenci hosts the shows. I'm Cam Stewart. It's Red Heat and Rage. Long Island Rage. George Kurtz drops by to chat baseball and hockey. And Jeff Nadeau will break down the NCAA games and conference tournaments. Stick around, everybody. Red Heat and Rage coming up next.
Game time decisions.
The Game Time Decisions Red Heat Rage Radio has begun. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Gabriel Morenci. You just heard Cam Stewart. As you heard Cam tell you, we've got George Kurtz going to be joining us in a couple of moments. Big man on campus, a.k.a. Jeff Nadeau. We'll throw it down with us as well as the madness is set to begin in a matter of hours, actually. March Madness isn't just the tournament. It's the entire, pretty much the entire month, the madness to get to the tournament. And the Horizon League tournament begins tonight. We've got two games in the Horizon League. They are Horizon Conference Tournament games. The first March Madness bid will officially be given, this weekend, as some of the conference tournaments begin tomorrow, Thursday, Friday. They all have sort of different setups, including, of course, Cam. A tournament that I never made it out to when I lived in Las Vegas, the West Coast Conference tournament, in which Gonzaga always wins over at the Orleans.
Yeah, that's a good point, Gabe. Yeah, Gonzaga, they always win that tournament. Basically can do it blindfolded. And if you want to be another team from this conference, you got to win the tournament. But good luck beating Gonzaga. We had a miracle a long time ago. Remember San Diego? They pulled it off before San Francisco. The Dons got close. But I'll tell you, when these guys are 25, 30-point favorites every night, it's going to be hard to knock them off. We need a real Cinderella story in the Big West.
Yeah, well, West Coast Conference.
Sorry, West Coast Conference. Correct. I always call it the Big West. That's UC. Yeah, I get those. There's so many damn conferences in there, man. It's crazy. Always at the Orleans, too. Good call by you, the Orleans.
Well, the West Coast Conference is at the Orleans. The WAC Conference tournament, I believe, is at the Thomas and Mack Center.
Mack Center.
That actually might be at the Orleans, too, actually. I think it might be a couple of days after at the Orleans. The Pac-12 one, most of the ones in the West are in Vegas. The Pac-12 one is at the new T-Mobile Arena there, where the Vegas Golden Knights play. It used to be at the MGM, but now it's at the arena, Pac-12. Of course, the Mountain West is at the Thomas and Mack Center. The West Coast Conference tournament is at the Orleans Casino. They have an arena there with a court and a hockey rink, etc. And the WAC, I believe the WAC is there as well. The big West, that's the one with Cal Poly and Irvine,
UC Irvine,
all those guys.
Yeah.
They play their tournament in Anaheim.
Good call, Staples. Yes. Good call, Anaheim. Yeah, at the Honda
Center.
The
Staples.
Staples. Yeah, Honda Staples. Yeah, I got.
Got to pick it up a notch here today.
Yeah, no, I know. You name the team, I'll tell you where they play. I know it's where the Ducks play, the pond. Hey, and Wright State's playing tonight, Gabe. My Wright State Raiders, 8-point favorites. We'll see if they can get it done.
They probably do. Who are they playing? Illinois?
Chicago? Yeah, it's
Chicago?
UIC, they should win the game, but who knows? But you talk about this, man. This is a dangerous time of the year. Some of these teams... you don't know what they're thinking going into the conference tournament. More not the small ones, but the bigger ones with teams want rest. But we'll see what happens. A lot of points delay.
All right, so conference action set to begin here this evening. Illinois, Chicago at Green Bay. Indiana, Purdue at Wright State. We'll break them down, Ed Moore.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Gabriel Morenci, throwing it down with Cam Stewart. Shout out to our boy Yang in the pit. It's his birthday.
Hey!
Happy birthday, Yang. So we'll try not to rage at Yang today at some point during the program.
Yep.
I can't promise anything. I can't. I can't promise.
Disclaimer.
But we do wish
him. Try not to.
We do wish him a happy birthday.
We do. Gramps.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's hard for me to call him Gramps when I'm older.
I'm older than him, too. I thought, I got a year on Yang, too, so we're Gramps. Gramps Jr.
Yang's going to be a grandfather soon. Yeah, he's a lot younger than me, which leads me to believe that Yang was a father at a pretty young age.
Excellent point.
Yes,
he was. Yeah. Procreation is Yang's strength.
Yeah, now he's already a grandfather.
That's right. He's got good swimmers.
Yeah. Yang's going to have a whole team soon.
Yang's going to have a whole team.
But shout out to Yang. Happy birthday to Yang. And I swear, I thought it was his birthday like a couple of months ago, but I think it was his kid's birthday.
Yeah,
maybe it was his son's birthday. Like, what's the deal, Yang? How many birthdays you have, man? You've got a birthday. Your kid's got a birthday. Like, every second day, it's a birthday wish here. So, happy birthday to Yang. Let's bring in George Kurtz right now, who's I don't think it's his birthday. What's going on, George?
No, I can promise you it's not my birthday, and thankfully it's not.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not a big birthday fan myself, personally.
No, they suck
birthdays.
Now.
Well, birthdays are just, you're 1 year closer to death, really.
Yeah. thanks
it.
For that.
Yeah, it's game. Yeah.
Sunshine with Morenci. But it's true, though.
Unfortunately, birthdays would be a celebration if you went back in time. Hey, look, I was 45, now I'm 42. Hey.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, hey, I'm 1 year older. Hey, great. But all kidding aside, I heard you guys' promo about people having birthday months now and birthday weeks and all this type stuff.
Stupid. Yeah, George and I hate it.
It's a little out there, right? I mean, I don't get it. My wife's not like that, thank God. But it's my birthday week. I've heard that. Now it's my birthday month is the new thing. I mean, I got to get you presents
acceptable?
31 days of a month now, every day?
When you're of legal age.
Am I gonna be nice to you?
When you're of legal age, that's like the only time you can justify that.
Good point, Gabe.
Hey, I can legally drink. You go on a week bender, and then you get on with your life. But if you're an adult and you're using your birthday as an excuse to drink for a week or a month, then you're probably just an alcoholic.
Yeah, it's kind of what I told George on the show. It's something I deal with on a yearly basis. Yes, the month of partying.
you never know what we're going to talk. First, we got Yang swimmers. Yeah, and now it's alcoholics. This is great. This is absolutely great.
Yeah,
I don't even tell.
It's optimistic hour with Morenci.
Everybody's therapy at 5 o'clock.
People that celebrate their birthdays too much have drinking problems. Anyone else care to add anything?
I think we've
been smoking too much. Maybe drinking too much coffee. Your heart's racing on the show. Obviously we're gambleholics, so that's a problem.
Yeah. Cab's rattled right now.
Yeah. No, I got some bad news at the doctor today. I just don't want to get into it with you. Long story.
That's depressing. So,
Wow,
we have a rip roaring start.
Dear God.
Yeah, it's been a rough one today. But we plow through, though. That's why we're professionals.
Is everything all right? So what, your stomach taken care of?
I'm not dying. That's another thing on the list. But, the sleep machine stuff, it's going to cost a lot more money, even though the government covers it. There's a lot of extra things that I need. And good point, Gabe. Yeah, you talk about the golf ball thing is going to have to get probably – they gave me a year, but I think it's in the next couple months it's got to come out. Really not looking forward to them putting a knife in my stomach. But it's got to be done.
There's nothing fun about getting cut open.
No.
I was gonna say I've been cut open. I was gonna say though, you won't be conscious for it anyway. So
thank God. Yeah, I'll tell me max it up. Yeah, whatever it is, give me the max.
Yeah, you got to do it. Like you're gonna have to take a week off or something, a week or two off.
Oh, okay,
a week off because Well, when you do it, I'm just stating. After I don't think you'll be able to cough or laugh. Could be a problem.
It's a big problem because you make me laugh all the time. Yeah, that's very true, very true.
But I told you the story. It happened to me. I had surgery, and it was terrible. It was terrible. So yeah, I had the surgery, and when they let me out, like basically they cut you up and they get you out of there right away. So it's like I wake up in the morning and they're like, "All right, you good to go?" And I'm like, "Not really, but whatever." You know, I'm like, I guess it's basically, you know, they got to get, you know, you're in and out, man. Somebody else has got to take the bed now. So I told the doctor, I was like, man, you got to give me some pills or something. Yeah, like a lot of pills. And I told the guy, I said, listen, I've got a high threshold. All right. So, you know, I really need to get whacked out here. You're sending me on the way out here. So he really did, man. I was like blasted. So blasted. But he tells me, he's like, listen, it's very important. You don't come and you don't laugh. Because I've got, like, three different holes. It's like a pyramid. I'm like, man. Like, so I've got, like, you know, four stitches on the bottom, four stitches on the top. That's probably what you're going to get, Cam. It's actually very small, actually. And they said,
your, what was your
my gallbladder.
Oh,
my gallbladder taken out.
Oh, boy.
It was pretty painful. So, yeah, they stick this little camera in there and stuff. And so, anyways, they tell me not to laugh or to cough. So... Or somebody picked me up. The thing they do is they hand me a big, fat blunt. And, of course, man, I start coughing. And I'm watching TV later at nighttime. And I'm flicking around. And it's all, like, late-night comedy on. And I was at my mother's house. And my mother tells me, listen, you can't laugh, so you shouldn't watch any of these, like, late-night shows. And... I told her, oh, don't worry, like, I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, Jay Leno's not going to bust my gut. You know what I mean?
Excellent point, yes.
Yeah, so I was like, don't
worry.
You're
going to be rolling on the ground. Oh, that Leno.
Yeah, I told her, don't worry, Mom. So I'm flicking around, and of course, man, freaking Rodney Dangerfield came on.
Beautiful.
And it was that stupid movie Ladybugs with Jack A. He's the soccer coach of a bunch of misfit teenage girls. And... lo and behold, man, I busted my stomach open, like I was bleeding and stuff. I had to stop watching the movie Ladybug. So, you'll be all right, Cam. Just you can't laugh.
Oh boy, yeah. Well, yeah, we'll get through it, buddy. We'll get through it.
Fun segment.
Hey, could have been worse for Severino. I was saying there, Kurtz. Yeah, that's good news for you. Yeah, it could be worse. He's only going to miss a couple of weeks.
Speaking of which, actually, before Cam tries to segue into baseball, speaking of which.
Nice try.
Yeah.
Ball.
A couple of weeks ago, it was Cam's fault that Zion Williamson got hurt. Good job, Cam. Kids never played again.
It's true.
And if you recall, so yesterday, we talked about the singer of Prodigy passing away. Well, passing away, he killed himself. So the singer of Prodigy, and then, of course, Luke Perry yesterday afternoon. And what did I say, Cam, on the show yesterday? I said, these things come in threes, and unfortunately, somebody else will die in the next couple hours, famous. Unfortunately, it was King Kong Bundy.
Love King Kong Bundy. One of my favorites of all time. Five.
Everybody don't make him like King Kong Bundy.
Yeah, he was great.
You know, the tag team, him and Big John Studd, they used to offer money, like, to body slam them. You couldn't.
That's right.
Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man, he actually did, though, but not until he played his theme music. He slammed Big John Studd, and they stiffed him. They stiffed him.
They got slammed all the time.
Exactly.
They got slammed, and like you said, they stiffed them.
They stiffed them with the money, yeah.
All right, so quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Severino. Interesting stuff with Sonny Gray. And you know what? I'm buying in. Sonny Gray's going to be better with Cincinnati. He's basically blaming the Yankees for why he sucked with the Yankees. It just continues.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All All right, Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Turn it up if you can, Yang. I know you're getting older and stuff, but come on, you're not soft yet. George Kurtz with us. Major League Baseball regular season starts earlier than usual this year. I guess they're playing a couple of games in Japan, and then the following week they start for real, March 28th. Severino. Severino is going to miss the start of the regular season. Bad news beginning already as far as pitchers are concerned. Clayton Kershaw in a similar situation right now. But, George, you're the resident Yankee fan amongst us. And, you know, the Yankees pitching, you know, is the strength of the Yankees pitching is the bullpen. But you're going to need somebody to get the game to the fifth inning. I mean, the Yankees are sort of built on, we're not asking a lot from our starters, but, you know, the starters, looks like the depth is kind of thin already, and we're still 4 weeks away from the start of the season.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Severino was shut down today. They're calling it inflammation in his rotator cuff, and then he'll be shut down for 2 weeks. Now, that's best-case scenario. If everything goes perfectly, yeah, he's back in around the 20th, around the start of, actually the technical start of the Major League Baseball season. But by the time he catches up, gets his innings in, remember today was supposed to be his first start, so he's well behind. You're talking best case scenario to get him back in the rotation would be mid-April, and I don't think that happens. My guess is May 1st is more the best case scenario, and Memorial Day doesn't shock me if this thing lingers on here. They'll be very careful with Severino. And the Yankees also, remember, CeCe Sabathia was suspended the first week of the season. That little revenge game last year against Tampa Bay where he took his pound of flesh for them throwing out one of the Yankees, and he's gone for the first week of the season. So the Yankees only have three starters right now. So it'll be interesting to see how they go about putting this rotation together. I think Gio Gonzalez will be a Yankee within a week.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. He's out there. What about Dallas Keuchel? Dallas Keuchel's still unsigned, right? Unless I
wants too much money. He wants a multi. He's not signing a 1 year deal. Gio could be signed for 1 year.
No, the
Yankees don't want Keuchel. Even for 3 years, the Yankees don't want Keuchel.
Cam hates Gio Gonzalez.
I wouldn't say. I think hate's a strong word.
That's a strong word.
Somebody else off the Christmas card list?
You think he sucks?
I do. But he's up and down. Now he's pitched some good games. I remember the time I say he sucks, and then he pitches like a two hitter. Then he gives up nine
George,
runs.
Yeah, I got into a big thing with Cam. It's about Gio Gonzalez. Cam was like, Gio, is that terrible or whatever? That night he threw like eight innings of one hit baseball or something. But he did struggle down the stretch after the fact. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Yankees do address this. I mean, people all say that, oh, no, you're not going to see the reliever start, and it's not going to become a trend in Major League Baseball, but I'd be surprised if it doesn't, guys. I think we'll see that quite a lot this year, actually.
I think there'll be more teams than last year. Yeah, I think you're going to see several. More, I think, of the low-budget teams. I don't think you'll see the Yankees, Red Sox, or up the upper echelon teams do it, but I think the lower-budget teams that really don't have five starters, which a lot of teams don't,
well,
I think
Milwaukee
those teams
Brewers
are
were doing it in the playoffs.
Exactly, in the playoffs. Tampa Bay it worked effectively for most of the year. It is crazy. But, George, and you know a lot of the big-name guys are really stepping up against it. Like Baumgartner says, yeah, you know, I'll walk out of the stadium. That's probably not going to happen. But, you know, the big-name guys are basically like, screw this. We can't have this happen. They're very scared about it.
Well, they're protecting their $20 million a year contract.
Exactly. Yes. That's what they don't want to make sure that doesn't go away here. So, I don't think Baumgartner also backtracked on that, by the way. He said it was a great statement, by the way, but then he sort of walked it back saying, okay, I probably wouldn't do that. But, you know, I see Yankee.
Bill Lee left the stadium once, and he got cut and pretty much blackballed from baseball. Like, it's not a good idea. He actually went to a bar during the game. Like, he was pissed off that the Rodney Scott got traded, and, you know, it was sort of like a mutiny against the manager. And he was in the bullpen, but the thing is, he didn't think he was going to be pitching. He wasn't supposed to be pitching. He was in the bullpen, and he actually split in uniform. So imagine you're sitting in a bar watching a game on TV, and Bill Lee walks into the bar. And he's watching on TV, and they say they're calling for Bill Lee, but they can't find him. And he runs back to the stadium and stuff, and they found out he left.
Yikes. Yeah. That's a no-no.
Yeah. He never played again. But he was pretty much, he was kind of.
He was washed up anyway.
Well, he wasn't washed up, but, I mean, you're pushing your luck when you're doing that, right? I mean, if you're a big league player, you're pushing your luck. But another pitcher, listen, a pitcher that was on the Yankees, now he's on Cincinnati. And I'm actually kind of high on Cincinnati, but it's too bad they play in such a tough division. Listen, I don't think they're going to win a division or anything, but I think they'd be a good team to bet on. They're going to be more competitive than they have been in past years. But I don't know if you saw this, George, but Sonny Gray is basically stating that the Yankees insisted that he throw sliders. And basically, I don't know, he's basically blaming the Yankees. Not fully. He takes some responsibility, but... You know, he says that the Yankees were making him throw pitches that he didn't want to throw, and it was putting him behind in counts, and he got in arguments with them behind the scenes, and then he actually started not listening to them and just throwing cutters, and it was working for him. Doesn't sound like he enjoyed his time with the New York Yankees.
All right, let me play devil's advocate here. So if you look at his numbers, apparently he listened to the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. On the road, he didn't listen to them. Because his splits are amazing. He was terrible at Yankee Stadium. He was fine on the road. So that I don't think that argument holds water. Once again, it seems like he had problems with Yankee Stadium. And this was known coming into when he was traded to the Yankees that he was a fly ball pitcher. It wouldn't work. It wasn't going to work in Yankee Stadium, which is also why it's not going to work in Cincinnati. Same problem. He gives up too many fly balls.
That's
and that
similar,
ballpark, the balls are going to go out.
Similar park, isn't it? Exactly. They're almost carbon copies.
Except well, it's worse than Yankee Stadium. At least Yankee Stadium, you can pitch to left center. You know, you can get left center. But, man, in Cincinnati, it's all a bomb. Center field's a bomb. Gone. Oh, everything's gone. So I don't see how he succeeds there either. There's a reason why he was good in Oakland. Ball doesn't travel there.
It's a very good point.
Pitchers, a lot of pitchers are good in Oakland.
That great foul toward the territory, Cam.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, it's pitcher's dream, that foul toward. You dream. That's the thing. You want to pitch in Oakland. I'm with
you or I would get a couple of pop-outs.
Yeah, exactly.
We'd groove these pitches in. A couple of them, they'd pop out. You know, they'd get under it, whatever. Like.
I'm a lefty too, Gabe. So you never know. Might trick them, and then the next one, he'll get crushed.
But that was why it was amazing back in the I'm going to say early, might have been the late '80s, early '90s when Connie Lansford won the batting crown despite playing for the Oakland A's because he had to lose, not say quite a few. But he had to lose some at bats on foul pops. You know, from that old foul territory there. It was a great season that Connie Lansford had.
No, you're exactly right. I'm looking forward to the start of baseball. Bryce Harper, he set a record, actually. They sold the most jerseys in 24 hours out of any sport, like for a new player. Now, part of this is probably because they were actually able to get the jerseys ready somehow. Because a lot of times there's a big demand for players and the jersey runs out right away. I remember LeBron with the Lakers. I think they started selling them before they were allowed to. There was something. There's always something, but a lot of hype around the Philadelphia Phillies. It's just interesting. All the sky is falling on baseball. Actually, suddenly people are pretty excited for the start of baseball. And I said a couple of, you know what? So what's the date today? It's March 5th, I think. So if it's March 5th, the season starts in 23 days? We're not all that far off, guys. A little more than 3 weeks. Less than that if you count those two games in Japan.
And you think about it. All right, Yankees open up at home. Okay, that's March 28th. It is going to be a robust 26 degrees tomorrow. All right, you tell me the weather's going to change that much in 3 weeks, man. I'm not going to the stadium anytime soon, man. No time soon at all. And those for day games. You know, the Yankees have their first three games against Baltimore at home.
You don't like to leave the compound, George, as it is.
I have no problem. I'm reffing tomorrow night, okay? I am reffing in 26 degrees. Actually, it'll be much colder. It's going down to 14 at night. So I'm going to freeze several body parts.
I leave, Brad. See, Kurt's still, talked to him on the weekend. As far as he gets is the driveway to shovel. But then sometimes he's got to take his kid to soccer. That's the only time he leaves.
But he loves the Yankees, so he's got to get out to the Bronx a couple of times, right? So how many times a year do you get out there usually?
Whenever someone owes me free tickets, that's when I get out there. I think I've been to City Field more than I've been to Yankee Stadium. The new
Yankees, you know what? I'm the Yankees open up against the Baltimore Orioles. They actually open up with six straight home games. Pretty advantageous. Wow, their schedule is pretty wow.
It's nice. If you're a Yankee fan, wow. It's nice. They can survive without Severino for a while.
First nine games, Cam, Yankees host Baltimore, the worst team like almost in the history of baseball.
Outside of Miami.
Then you get a three-game set with the Detroit Tigers come to town.
One of the worst teams, too.
Yep.
And then you go on the road at Baltimore. Oh, where the beautiful. Stadium will be like a home game, all Yankee fans again. Your first nine games, if you're the Yankees, are against six against Baltimore, three against Detroit. Yankees like should be 7-2 at minimum.
But then a lot of teams are going to be like this. How many good teams are there in the American League? Yankees, Baltimore, Tampa, Cleveland. You want to throw Minnesota in there? Houston, maybe Oakland. And you're being nice there, Minnesota and Oakland. I mean, no one's truly afraid of them, but they might be the best of what's left. There are many more bad teams than good teams. The Yankees aren't the only team that's going to have a schedule like this. There'll be many teams that have it.
And, you know, Cam, normally I shy away from baseball totals that are – I ignore them even. I'm like, man, I'm not betting at 94.5 or 92.5 or 95.5. The Yankees are going to win like 107 games or something this year. It doesn't even matter they're pitching. They're going to crush it. They're going to, like Georgia State.
The American League Boston close. Games, they'll smoke everybody in that division hard.
So yeah, like Tampa will give them a little bit of a problem. Tampa are a scrappy team, but there's just so many games, man, against like the Tigers, the Orioles, the Blue Jays, the Royals, the Rangers. You know, like George said, who's good? Who's good? Houston?
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
For the record, tickets are like $100. Tickets are like $100 to go see the New York Yankees and the Baltimore Orioles, Yankees home opener. New York Mets tickets. Let's see. I wanted to compare how much cheaper are tickets for the New York Mets. All right. So the Mets home opener, $57. $57. Oh, you get a Todd Frazier WWE bobblehead against the Washington Nationals. The Nationals actually the Mets open up with the Nationals actually. So Mets and Nationals $57 a home opener. I plan on getting out to some Mets games this year just because so cheap. I mean, look, Minnesota Twins at New York Mets camp $6.
Awesome.
And that's as low as StubHub goes.
The Jays are going to suck, and what do you think their home opener is going to be on average? Like, what do you think? It'll be a hell of a lot.
I'll tell you right now.
I'll tell you.
My guess, the Blue Jays home opener is probably like 100.
I'm thinking 140.
130.
Yep. It'll be that.
People are psychos for that. Probably even more. Yeah. Like, Toronto's.
And then you go to, you know what the best is, Gabe? You go to game two or three, and it's half the price or less. So, like, you just want to be there day one? Like, come on. I go to three games for the price of one, maybe four.
You know, a lot of fans are like that, though. They like the pomp and circumstance of opening day.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Oh, wow, Cam, no. People are off the Blue Jay bandwagon.
Under 100?
$24.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy talk.
I'd say that's off the bandwagon.
Wow. Yeah. These opening day used to be $200 plus.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, like good seats are like, $200 and stuff. Yeah, bottom. Yeah, still. $20. I don't even know where that is. They're lying.
Yeah. It's in the nosebleed. It's 500s.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the nosebleeds, $55 and crap.
It's in the lobby of the hotel.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what, actually, George, you can see, if you can see from the hotel rooms, but there's a bar up there, and you don't need a room at the hotel. I used to go, remember when the Bills were playing in Toronto? I watched a couple of games up there. I watched the game with old man from Boston up there against the Falcons. It's pretty cool because, like, it's like it's basically like you're – it's like you have a private suite, you know what I mean? Like, but you don't get the sound because there's glass. But it's like you're in the stadium, basically. And it was pretty cool because you're in a bar and they had the other games on, too. So it's a pretty good experience. But, yeah, tickets looks like the Jays – man, like you said, Cam, they used to be one of the hottest tickets. We'll see what happens, but maybe people are fed up. Maybe people are fed up. And I know some people are like, they're not going until Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Gets in there. Where was Andrew George in the mock drafts and stuff? Where's Vlad Jr. going?
You know, and I've done one live draft and about three or four mocks that'll be published somewhere. And he was always going around three. He slipped to round five today. Yeah, I wonder if now people are realizing, well, he's not going to be called up till, you know, 2 weeks into the season, 3 weeks at the earliest. What if something happens and now he's not up till May? He's missing a sixth of the season. But today was the first time I saw him fall further than round three. Once again, it could just be an aberration. One draft, one mock doesn't mean anything. But I wonder, once again, if that's what's going on here. People are realizing, listen, I can't take somebody in round three when I know he's going to miss the first 20 games of the season.
I'm just waiting to see how the Jays are going to screw this one up. They're already talking about, oh, he's not ready for Major League Baseball. They've already commented about
liars.
He's a little bit bigger of a guy. Like, you know,
a little bigger?
Yeah, he's chunky.
He's a defensive end. he's got the biggest rear end I've ever seen on a baseball player.
Yeah, so did his old man.
That's where he gets the power.
Yeah, that's right. Power in the rear, like a horse. That's right.
There's no way he stays at third base.
His father was never in shape either. Well, his father was in better shape than he was. So he was a little thinner, but but his father's stating like his father didn't. Vladimir never hit the weight room or anything. Like it was just sort of natural. And same thing, he had like sort of skinny legs, skinnier arms, but big hips and a big ass, and you know, big thick thighs too. You know, so you get that power, get the power out of there. But all right, so we got NHL hockey. Tonight, New York Islanders. Yeah, it was a nice night when they roughed up Tavares last week, but things have fallen apart since. The Islanders have done a nice job of digging down deep and not, you know, collapsing. You know, Trotz has talked about the backbone that this team plays with. They're going to have to start to show it a little bit. You know what? They still have a 6-point cushion, but things are getting real now for the Islanders.
They certainly are. I mean, listen, the Toronto game wasn't the beginning of this downtrend. They were playing poorly before that. That West Coast, you know, that Canadian West Coast trip seemed to really hurt this team. Lost to Calgary twice when they came back at home also. Edmonton, they did beat Vancouver, but they were outplayed. And then I think they showed a lot of emotion, maybe spent too much emotion to beat Tavares, beat the Maple Leafs, lost to the Capitals the next day, did not look good against the Flyers, not a great team on Sunday. They got back-to-back games against Ottawa, Tuesday and Thursday. They got to take care of business. No excuses here. But there's, like so many teams in the NHL, there's flu and stomach viruses running through that clubhouse of the Islanders now. Several players, including maybe the entire fourth line, may not play tonight. And you can make a very easy argument, guys. That fourth line is their best line.
It's true. Yeah, they worked their ass off. Hey, George, I was going to say, when we're doing the weekend show, the bane of our existence is two teams screw us, our parlays the most. Florida, if Columbus doesn't beat New Jersey tonight, I don't know what the hell's going to happen. This team looks like they're close to implosion after they were tied with the Jets. They gave up a late goal. They were almost looked like they wanted to kill each other and Tortorella. Now they're laying, like, what, 240, 250 against the Devils tonight? It's a must-win for the Jackets, too, after salvaging their future with all the guys they picked up.
Think about how much pressure is on Columbus after all the trades they made, and they've given away future, right? I mean, they've given away massive picks, a lot of prospects. You know you're not going to have Panarin next year. You know Bobrovsky's gone next year. And now you may not even make the playoffs now. You haven't won a game since. I mean, if they don't make the playoffs, does anybody survive this? Tortorella's got to be gone. Hell, a GM may have to go after what happened here because they won't be good for a couple of years anyway. If I'm the owner, I'd be downright pissed. If they don't turn this thing around, they have to beat Jersey tonight. That being said, Cam, they cost me money on Saturday. You know, you and I both had them against Edmonton. That didn't work out. I am not touching it tonight. They should destroy New Jersey, but I don't trust them.
As far as the Islanders are concerned, too, 0-for-10 on the power play, George, in their last five games. It's a big problem. And the Ottawa Senators, 17-for-18. 17 for 18 killing penalties. It's not going to be an easy game for the Islanders tonight. You mentioned all the injuries, sicknesses, and everything else in between. It's a dangerous game, especially against a team like Ottawa that's playing with house money right now. They got a new coach. They snapped their 7-game losing streak. They beat Florida. I mean, Ottawa doesn't have any pressure. The Islanders are the ones under the pressure. It's a tough spot. Tough spot for the Jackets, too, because they're under pressure. But that power play for the Islanders is really killing them right now.
And it has for most of the season. I mean, I don't want to be the negative Ned here, but the Islanders have been doing what Mir is most season long. They've outplayed teams. They've outcoached teams. What did it tell you at the deadline when Lou Lamoriello didn't do anything? He didn't do anything.
Tells me he doesn't think they're good enough.
That's what it tells me, too, that he knows this team has been doing it with Mears and not one player. Even if he could choose the one player, I can have Mark Stone. He knows that not one player was going to change this. So that's what it tells me, that he didn't want to give up any future assets when he knows, even if we got Stone, we're still, maybe we're a second-round knockout instead of a first-round knockout. That's what that tells me, that Lou didn't want to spend that. And I think Lou's right, mind you. As an analyst, I think he's right. As an Islander fan, I'm like, really? You can't add something to help this team? Because as much as you and I know it, don't you think the players in the locker room know it as well? You know, oh, man, we didn't add anybody. I mean, Barry Trotz, oh, we did add. We got Ladd back. We got Hickey back. Yeah, yippee. You know, who the hell cares about those? So they've done nothing. So I think the players feeling it, too. We didn't add anybody. They needed more than one scorer, but they certainly needed one, a winger. Scoring winger, especially on the power play, badly.
Yeah, but it was a realistic decision. And, you know, Lou doesn't want to give something up just to get bounced in the first round, right? We talked about it, which they stated, even with the arena, if they play in the second round, they'll play there. It was pretty much, if they play. But big game tonight. One team that's been flying under the radar. You talk about Columbus all we want. Don Cherry's bunch of jerks, the Carolina Hurricanes, 8-2 in the last 10 games, taking on the Boston Bruins, who are the hottest team in the National Hockey League right now, 12-0-4 since January the 19th. I could buy into Boston going to the Stanley Cup. You know, they play playoff style hockey, laying -147 tonight against Carolina. Big game tonight. Fun game, actually. Canes have been a big surprise this year.
Well, I want to see the Canes win because I want to see the next celebration. Did you see? I know I talked to him about it on Sunday.
They only do it at home.
I thought they are at home tonight. They're not?
No, it's
they're on the road.
See them do it in Boston and beat them.
That would be interesting if they did that. But did you see their celebration
against
Saturday?
Don Cherry's Bruins. No, what did they do Saturday?
They had Evander Holyfield come out into the ice wearing a Canes jersey with real boxing gloves, and they had one of the Canes players, Martinuk. They act like they were in a boxing match. Of course, Holyfield knocks him out. Martinuk falls to the ground, you know, spread eagle, he's out cold. And then, like a figure in an old movie, the Canes police, they come out with the ambulance guys come out. They literally drag. They take him by his skates and drag him off the ice, out cold, like he's just dead. It was funny. It was fantastic. Loved what they did. I mean, it's inventive. I'd like to know how much they had to pay Holyfield to do this, but it was fantastic.
Well, he's got a lot of kids, so probably not much.
Oh, man.
That's right.
He's got to do what he has to do for money.
Yeah. Hey, I got no problem with it. I think Carolina might be a live dog tonight. You're right, Morenci. Boston scares me big time. And they've done this without Pasternak, too, just showing you how dangerous this team is. Like, Boston's top line is just impeccable, like one of the best in the league. They're playoff ready, too. They're not afraid of anybody in the East.
Oh, they're afraid of Tampa Bay. Don't kid yourself. But everyone's Tampa afraid Bay, of Tampa Bay.
Everyone talks Tampa Bay. They got to still do it, man. This is like, I know they're everyone, oh, Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay. We've seen this guy's gag before, George.
You know, seems they're 200
to favorites. Only 200s. Rare. I'm used to seeing -350 every night.
Too low.
-200 hosting the Winnipeg Jets this evening.
I mean, the fully rested Jets have been an up-and-down team of late.
Tampa's the play tonight.
I'm going over. All right, I think goals are coming in this game. I'm going over. I think goals are coming. I know a Lightning can score. And I think they get three or four. They get more than half of what I need. The Jets can score as well.
Almost every game tonight, not every game, but a lot of them, there's big numbers. I mean,
I know.
If you look, Columbus are big road favorites in Newark against the Devils. The Islanders are -3 freaking 35, which is insane. Ottawa's the play in that game.
Yes, yeah, I take Ottawa first.
If you lose, you lose. But, you know, the numbers, it's too crazy. Pittsburgh Penguins are -185. Tampa -200. Nashville -200. Dallas are -200. Colorado are -240. Arizona -155.
Like Arizona.
Big numbers tonight.
By the way, one thing, it's Halakin net tonight for Boston, not Rask. That's somewhat of a surprise.
I like Carolina. They're going to be my dog. And, Gabe, I think two low favorites we can look at. Montreal needs points. Laying $140 at L.A., that's possible. And Arizona's been great at home. Yeah, that's actually a good price for the Coyotes. All the rest of them are crazy. You're right. Like, how do you lay that with Colorado, George? These guys lost to Anaheim the last game. Like, 260? Yeah. Give me a break.
I remember, Cam. I remember they lost to Anaheim.
Hate that.
Remember quite well, because Sunday didn't go well.
I used to like Colorado.
Is Carey Price playing tonight?
Yeah, checking.
He's got the
Price. Price is confirmed. He is playing. Price is in.
Confirmed?
He is confirmed, yes.
That's big.
Montreal have had problems in Los Angeles in the past.
They have.
But the Kings are in a free fall right now. All right, we'll be right back. We'll wrap things up with George Kurtz on the other side.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, we got a couple of minutes left here with George Kurtz. Going through the NHL card here this evening. 10 games on the slate. I think we got some live dogs. I'm going to fire off a poll question. I'll ask people who they think the best live dog of the night is.
Good question. Yeah, that's a good one.
Winnipeg,
a lot of live dogs.
Winnipeg are a capable team. I mean, Winnipeg can play with Tampa, but like you said, George, Winnipeg are an up-and-down team that they really have been a team that I basically just ignore, too, Cam. I can't pick check games.
I will say this, and to George's point, like Columbus outplayed Winnipeg in that game. They were very, very unlucky. Wheeler was good. He had four goals. But I will tell you this. Bobrovsky was horrible. If Tampa Bay wants to play this game, they'll murder Winnipeg tonight. I think I'm going to put I don't want to. We talked about this money line parlay, but I think Tampa will win by 2+ goals tonight.
We can get to New York. The New York Islanders are -320 right now. The Senators are +260. Minnesota Wild are +155. I'd like a little bit more there. I'd like a little bit more, but I think the Wild can hang with the Preds. And I got to tell you, the Devils, man. Devils at home. A lot of pressure on the Jackets, like you guys talked about. Devils score a first goal or two.
They got crypto sticks tighter.
+210 with a home team.
Yeah, I still can't do it. I like the Coyotes tonight at home against the Ducks. Ducks don't score goals.
So do I. I
like the Yotes.
Yeah, they're not a dog, George.
No, that's the thing. They're not a dog.
We're looking for dogs, George.
I like Carolina. Carolina's a small pooch, Gabe. I like Carolina as a small pooch. I think you're on to something there too. And Minnesota deserves a long, hard look. Those Nashville Minnesota games, the last game they played went to a shootout. Very, very tight contested game. You can't lay 200 with the Preds.
George Kurtz. All right, George. So it's always a pleasure. And
always a pleasure.
Thank you for the emotional uplift of all the medical treatments in the first segment. Always fun.
Yes, we're going under the knife, buddy.
We'll make you appreciate your family life more now. You'll be like, God.
Look at these idiots. Yeah, it's true.
Be good, guys.
All right, thanks, George Kurtz. Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio continues.
News. You know what our dog was, Gabe? We missed our dog. It was in the Champions League. Real Madrid are done. Ajax smoked these guys 4-1 today, 5-3 on aggregate. Ajax Amsterdam was our dog. We missed it.
The Kansas City Chiefs want to stay, Mr. Speed, to stay in KC. KC have begun working out a potential record to set receiver Tyreek Hill up for a long time to come. The Chiefs have been working on getting their finances in order by franchise tagging Dee Ford and reportedly making pass rusher Justin Houston available for trade for the rest of the league. Hill on fire last year, 1,479 yards receiving, 14 touchdowns, a punt return touchdown. The Chiefs leading the NFL in total offense and points last year, and the 5'10 burner is also a free agent in 2020. He's been to three straight Pro Bowls. The current top contract for a wide receiver is Odell Beckham Jr. with the New York Giants, 5 years, $90 million. In a non-surprise non-move, the Giants have informed safety Landon Collins he will not be franchise tagged. The Giants allowing him to walk out the door. A lot of teams are interested. Three-time Pro Bowler, first-team All-Pro in 2016, defensive captain, missed only 5 games in 4 years and 25 years old. Giants Nation very, very upset about this move. They wanted him to stick around in New York. The Patriots will not use the franchise tag on Trey Flowers, Trent Brown, or Steven Gostkowski. All three were candidates to receive the tag. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers reaching a three-year deal with left tackle Jonathan's worth $41.25 million. Yankees ace Luis Severino scratched from today's spring training start with shoulder discomfort, but the pinstripes breathing a sigh of relief. It could have been worse, but the right-hander is only going to be shut down 2 weeks. Best case scenario, after MRI revealed an inflamed rotator cuff. Could have been a lot worse. Severino will receive an injection and anti-inflammatories before resuming his throwing program. It's like unlikely he's going to pitch opening day now for the Pinstripes. Bryce Harper wasting no time to recruit a new face to Philly. The Philly star letting it be known he's planning to push LA Angels star Mike Trout to join him in the city of brotherly love when Trout reaches free agency next year. Yeah, good point. Sounds like tampering to me, and I think the Yankees are going to say, "Hey, Mr. Trout, how's this open checkbook here?" So I don't know. I know he's from the Philadelphia area, Gabe, but I still think Trout will be a New York Yankee when everything's said and done, and not a Philadelphia Philly. The Twins' Miguel Sano expected out till May after going a foot procedure. It's the latest setback for Sano, who struggled at the dish in 2018. He missed a lot of time in 71 games last year. Rough season, hitting only 199 with 13 home runs. The New York Mets hiring ESPN baseball analyst Jessica Mendoza to their front office. The new gig with the Mets will not affect her Sunday night job. Also, the Mets very busy this week hiring former players Al Leiter and John Franco along with Mendoza. LeBron says no way he's going to be shut down, after Monday's loss to the Clippers. The Lakers slip sliding away, 5.5 games behind the Spurs for the final playoff spot. LeBron says they're not giving up. 18 games to make up the difference, not likely, but he is not going to be shut down. At the combine, former Alabama defensive lineman Quinnen Williams ran a fastest 40-yard dash among 300 pounders with a smooth 4.83. Gabe, how did he do it? Oreo cookies, the key to his success. He says he plowed Oreos in the morning for breakfast. See, so who cares about our salads and kale and broccoli? Oreos, getting it done for players going to the next level. Hey, three people convicted in a paper play scheme aimed at steering recruits to Adidas sponsorships. These guys have been sentenced to multiple months in prison. Former Adidas executive James Gatto, business manager Christian Dawkins, and Merle Code convicted of conspiracy to commit wire fraud in October for funneling illegal payments to families of recruits from schools Louisville, Kansas, and North Carolina State. Prosecutors say coaches teamed up with the Adidas executive and others to trade hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes to influence the athletes' choice of schools, footwear, agents, tailors. So what's next for the coaches? None of these guys have been indicted today, but maybe they'll be next. NHL meetings. GM's drafting a provision which players who lose their helmet during a play must immediately go to the bench or face a penalty. The league also looking at making helmets mandatory during warm-ups before the games. Nearly a year after a bus crash that left 16 dead and another 13 injured, the last Humboldt Broncos player has been released from the hospital. Great news. Morgan Goebel's family announced on Monday he's going to be released after a 333-day hospital stay. Six games in the NBA hardwood tonight. Yeah, I know, crazy stuff. Chicago at Indiana, Pacers 7-219. Orlando at Philly, Sixers -3.5, 223.5. Oklahoma at Minnesota, Timberwolves -1, 236. Houston at Toronto, good one. Toronto is a 3-point fave, 228. Portland -6 at Memphis, over under 216. And Boston at Golden State, the late game, laying 7, 228. We got NCAA hoops action tonight, Gabe, and Duke star Zion Williamson will not play tonight. Duke still a 26-point favorite against Wake Forest tonight. Stick around, everybody. More Red Heat and Rage Radio coming up on the network. Stick around.
Game time decisions.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Rays Radio, Level 2 begins. And Gabriel Morenci, George Kurtz joined us in Level 1. Big Man on Campus will join us in the third hour of the program. AKA Level 3 will run the gauntlet in the 5 o'clock hour here. Take a look at the NBA card, actually, tonight. Some big games in the NBA. I fired off the poll question. I asked you guys on Twitter, at SportsRage, who is the best dog bet tonight in the National Hockey League? Hashtag sports betting. We've gotten 21 responses in the last 3 minutes. And 52% say the Winnipeg Jets at plus 170 are the best bet. Oh, up to 31 responses right now, 31 votes. So 23% say Devils plus 210. 19% say Wild plus 155 versus the Preds. 52% say the Winnipeg Jets plus 170 versus Tampa. Just 6% say the Ottawa Senators plus 260 versus the Islanders. And that only confirms even more for me, Kim, that that one's flying under the radar that much.
Yeah. fading the public
fading
with the viewer
range.
Poll question. Exactly. No, I looked at Winnipeg, too. I just think it's a better spot for Tampa Bay tonight. And I'm with you. If you look at the big dogs on the card, I'll tell you one thing. If the Islanders beat Ottawa, it's probably going to be very, very tight. I'm also looking at Ottawa +1.5 if I can get plus money. The Islanders shouldn't be -315. No way. George even talked about it. Guys have flu bugs and stuff. No thanks. I don't lay that. The type of style that they play, too, very, very tight style. You know, they don't score a lot of goals either, except for when they play Toronto. Ottawa, I think you're really, really, really barking up the right tree there with that play. And I also liked your other one. I'm actually going to consider Minnesota as well.
Wild.
Yep. I think both of the big dogs you mentioned have a chance.
I'm going to play all four. I'll play all four. And listen, two of them win, it'll be a nice little profit. If one of them wins, it'll be a sort of a break even, lose a little bit. Three of them win, then, ooh, big, big night. But honestly, I'm looking, I don't know. I mean, the Ottawa Senators, just fundamentally, you're getting plus 260 in hockey. I don't take the old plus 260 in some sports. Like, oh, they might win. I'm not taking bets just because it's plus 260, but hockey, man, most of these games are one-goal games to begin with. And like you said, you just aren't good enough to be blowing teams out. I know they beat up on the Leafs that night, but that was sort of
weird circumstances. That was different circumstances.
Yeah.
They waited for that game. They expended a lot of energy. That was on their calendar. The Leafs were toast before that game even started. The Islanders were so ready to go.
I like the no-name sense, Kev. New coach, yeah. No name. Guys just playing. They're playing loose. They're having fun. They enjoyed beating Florida. They're coming in here with no pressure. There's a lot of pressure on the Islanders. Islanders fourth line all beat up. They got a flu going around the team. They got guys with concussions. They're beat up. I think the Senators are a live dog. Tampa, I don't like messing with Tampa, but the Jets are a damn good team. You get plus 170 with them.
They are.
The Wild and the Preds, to me, I mean, that could just go to overtime. And the Devils plus 210. That's a big leap of faith there, but they're on their home ice.
I like CBJ. Juice is high.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports, our radio network. Thanks to George Kurtz for joining us on the program. Big Man on Campus will join us later. And earlier this morning, we spoke some Arizona Cardinal, Kyler Murray, NFL draft football with the beat writer for the Arizona Cardinals, actually. So it's good stuff. We'll play you that in the 5:40 hour from the morning after. We got some great guests actually on the show. We've been more business this week, more NFL stuff, NFL combine stuff, and you know, Brian Baldinger yesterday, Bob McManan today. joined us on the show. And, you know, to be honest, you'll hear him. What we really liked about this guy, he was the most honest reporter I think we've ever had on the show before, or I've ever spoken to. Like, you know, like, it always pisses me off. I always tell you, I'm like, you know, like the mock drafts and this team. I'm like, man, GMs aren't telling anyone anything, and GMs don't even know who they're taking. So he covers Arizona, and he goes, guys, I don't know what they're going to do.
That's great.
He goes, I don't know. Yeah, he goes, I don't know what they're going to do. And he goes, quite frankly, he goes, I don't think they know what they're going to do. And it's true. Arizona doesn't know what they're going to do yet. Just because ESPN, it's confirmed. Oh, he's going first all Arizona. It's a lot of things. Like, you got to trade Josh Rosen. You got to make a decision. Like, there's a lot of balls in the air here, and a lot of things can happen. But I don't believe for a second that they've made their mind up officially 1,000,000% that they're doing it. He hasn't even had his pro day yet. And a lot of things can happen between now and the NFL draft camp. As you know, it's still 2 months away.
Another thing that I don't like what's happened, and I'm not even like a Josh Rosen fan. I'm a Seattle Seahawks. That's my team. Arizona's in our division. I don't like what Kurt Warner and this so-called GM says about this guy's a third stringer. We talked to Blewett about it. What has he done to say, third round talent. Like, it's absolutely crazy. Like, yeah, third round talent, no. That's ridiculous. And why Kurt Warner, when you played for this team, would you want to throw these guys under the bus? And when they're trying to get draft value for them, if they do make a deal, you'll get less draft value for it. It's just, to me, it's crazy. It's absolutely insane. And, you know, I'm not even a huge Josh Rosen guy, Gabe. I just think it's unfair and ridiculous. That guy's going to have a chip on his shoulder, man, a lot to prove. A lot of crazy things have happened to him, and we haven't even had the draft yet.
Well, I guarantee you that teams will be jumping over each other to give a third-round pick for Josh Rosen.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, you're getting a ninth overall pick in the draft last year. You know, they traded up five spots to get him.
They went five spots to 10 to get him, and now you're telling me he's a third rounder? No, he's not. I think he's first round. He hasn't even proved. And that last year, too, what the hell? They played with half a deck. You know what I mean? Arizona had a lot of issues at a lot of positions there, Morenzi. You know that. And he didn't really get a fair shake. So, yeah, I think
they're
like
the worst
probably
offensive line, actually.
That's another great point. Yep, they did. The Giants had a bad line. Arizona had a bad line. So it's not a real fair assessment of Josh Rosen that early into his career. I think if, you know what I mean, you get, you say, people are saying third rounder, second rounder. If I'm a team, I'm definitely making a pitch for this guy. If they're talking third rounder, teams will be lining up to make a third round pitch for a guy like Rosen. That's a no-brainer.
Well, if it's a third rounder, then it changes everything. Because teams could afford to get him as a backup even, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'd be like, yeah, we have a quarterback, but, you know, we can get Josh Rosen for a third rounder. It'd be stupid not to. It's like buying a stock. Sort of like, remember last year, like the Packers swooped in and grabbed DeShone Kizer. Say what you will about McCarthy, but he was smart. He's like, oh, you guys don't want him, huh? You just took him in the first round. We'll take him. And want to bury this kid at 22 years old? Go ahead. And similar situation here with Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen doesn't blow. Arizona blew last year. The team sucked. They hired a coach that they fired already. They fired their offensive coordinator. They had no wide receivers. They had everyone was injured. They started 10 different combinations at the offensive line. I saw Warren Sharp tweeting today that in Rosen's games that he played, he actually played against like some of the top defense and top DBs.
Yeah.
Like, basically, Rosen couldn't buy a break. Like, nothing went his way, from the schedule to the coaching scene to, like, the players he was with. Like, the kid was up against it. And you'll hear in the interview, the guy in Arizona said, you know, and Rosen got the living crap kicked out of him a few times on the road and stuff. Yeah. Never complained, no bad body. Like, all this stuff, he's a bad kid, he doesn't get along with people. It's all garbage. Like, he's fine. You know what I mean? He's a cocky California quarterback. Boo-hoo. They all are. You know?
Yeah, no, and I'm absolutely with you. And that's another thing. People did look at it. The teams that they played, sure, in the division, think about it. The Rams defensive line, you got Aaron Donald, those guys. Seattle still has killers at the linebacker position. Their game at home, Gabe, when he was just starting to get better, Bears.
Bears defense. You talk about it. Like, you look at ding, 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 up and down the list. There was no cream puffs. This wasn't Tom Brady in New England going, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, we get, you know, this division all the time. Like, they had some really, really tough games. He's a rookie quarterback, and they put him in a position to fail. And I think that other coach, he didn't even get a fair shake, too. Remember when he went to the podium, it's like, oh, yeah, you guys going to fire me? Yeah, well, they did fire you. He didn't even have a chance. It was absolutely crazy what the Cardinals ran their show. It's stupid.
I would have given him one more year, the coach, too.
Yeah, at
the
least.
Wilkes guy would have given him another year.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, man. Got to give him a chance. They fired him so quick. It's ridiculous. But, yeah, hey, man, I'm with you. If Rosen, if the hoppers are there, and if he becomes a third-rounder, teams can do so many things with that guy. It could be an absolute steal. I still believe he could be a good quarterback, too.
You know, the thing is, Arizona are an erratic franchise. And I don't say that in a negative way, but they're difficult to predict. I mean, nobody thought, you know, they hired the David Wilkes guy, and then they throw him under the bus after 1 year. Nobody saw them hiring Cliff Kingsbury, right? So it's not like above them, Cam, like to do something extreme again. You know what I mean? Like, they could flip Rosen. Like, the thing with Arizona is they seem to change their mind a lot. That's what I'm getting at. And if you're a business or you're an organization, you need a plan. You know, if you don't have a plan and you're just sort of – you can operate on the fly if you're already successful, right? You know, you can operate on the fly and just deal with each crisis as it comes, sort of like the UFC and Dana White. You know what I mean? Like, they're flying high. They deal with a bunch of crap on a daily basis, but they put a fire out. They move on, and, you know, it works out for them. But – if you're a crappy organization, you can't just work on the fly. And that's what Arizona seems to do. Like, you know, like, what's your deal? Like, you know what I mean? You've got David Johnson. You couldn't get him the football last year. You got to work on your offensive line. That's not Josh Rosen's fault. If you had Tom Brady on that team, he would have gotten killed too.
I agree 100%. Yeah, even the other position, like Seals Jones was supposed to have a breakout year. No. Larry Fitzgerald did the best he can, but, you know, he's an older guy. Christian Kirk didn't really seem like the move that they should have picked, Gabe. You're absolutely right. They had the problems on the offensive and defensive lines more than anything. And Johnson's been basically a fantasy stud that was a lock first or second pick into the draft of people falling all the way down to between 8 and 10. No, it's crazy. These guys panic. They don't see things kind of in the long term, and I wonder what's going to happen with Rosen. I actually, with Cliff Kingsbury, though, as what you said before, I believe the same thing, even though Bosa's like, don't pass up on me. You're going to regret it, whatever. I think Cliff Kingsbury loves Kyler Murray so much, they will take him, knowing somebody else, a.k.a. the Raiders, will take him in the four position if they don't. I think they're just going to say, you know, it's Murray time, and it's been a slice, Josh.
Yeah, I think that's how it's going to play out, too. My guess, my belief is they are going to take him first overall. It's just, it's too perfect. You know, like, Cliff Kingsbury recruited him. Cliff Kingsbury's running that offense. He's got a guy that runs his offense. The only thing is, with guys that, oh, he's a perfect fit for the offense, is, I swear, man, when Chip Kelly went to San Francisco after Harbaugh left, man, you figured, dear God, like, you got Chip Kelly and Colin Kaepernick. You're going to have Colin Kaepernick in a Chip Kelly sort of Oregon Duck system. He's going to kill it, right? And look, he ended up losing his job to Blaine Gabbert. And
yep.
You look, Nick Foles, Cam, in Chip Kelly's system, threw 27 touchdown passes and 2 interceptions. Had a great year. You would figure...
I know, it's Rick. Gabe's got an interview with Ric Flair coming.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Where do I begin? Learning to talk again. Can't you see I've waited long enough?
We'll double check if going to double check and confirm what's the status for Paul George this evening. I believe, I don't know, he's questionable for tonight, which I don't think he's going to be playing because the point spread is is one. And I'm looking right now, and I see, oh, God, he's still questionable. Son of a bitch. Nothing's ever easy, man, in the NBA.
Nope. No, leave it to the last minute for you.
I want to take Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. I think they're in a good spot to beat the Minnesota Timberwolves this evening. But, you know, Paul George is one of the best players in the NBA, so I don't really don't want to mess with it.
Damn right.
If Paul George isn't going to be playing, he's questionable, I'll assume, since the point spread is what it is. But interesting slate of games tonight in the association. Chicago at Indiana. Chicago have been a stone-cold over the last couple of games. Let me see how many games. Let's see. Overs over Chicago Bulls. Actually, so it's just basically when they play the Atlanta Hawks.
No defense.
One, two, three.
Atlanta's been a nice little bet.
3-1 and one.
Covering numbers.
It's actually 5-1 and one to the over, the Bulls, in their last six games. Five overs, one push, one under. With the Chicago Bulls, and you know what's interesting, the Pacers aren't really thought of as an offensive team, really. But Cam, they've been playing to the over as well, and in fact, they're 5-1 to the over in their last six games. They've been playing with quite a flow against Orlando, 229 points, 237 points against Minnesota, 211. That was the under against Dallas. 222 against Detroit, that went over. Washington, 119, 112, that went over. New Orleans, they got to 237. I'm starting to buy into the over of this Bulls and Pacers game this evening. I hope the pace is good in the Pacers game because I'm going to be betting the over. 219 points.
And that's the thing when you're looking at Pacer games too. When I'm putting these updates and you look at the totals, Gabe, they're one of the lower end teams with their totals too. You get a lot of 212.5, 216.5. Or like other games, we're looking at teams with no offense, 236.5, 238, 239, things like that. Like I look at the Pacers, a lot of still reputation is based on the defense. But you're saying if they're opening it up there, and I'll tell you one thing, the Bulls don't play much D, so I think you might be onto something. That's a good. You're sniffing around there, and I think you found something.
Yeah, they all sound good before the game starts. My picks are sounding like sharp tonight. Which leads us into, so you got Orlando and Philadelphia. Listen, Orlando have been good as an underdog, and they're bad in these, they're bad when they're supposed to win a game. And you saw they lost to the Knicks, they lost to the Bulls, they lost to another bad team the other night, actually, too. Orlando are a strange team, but Cam, they played well against good teams. My deal is 3.5 points just is not enough points for me to take them at Philadelphia tonight. I'm going to pass on the Orlando game.
Orlando, they were, I think it was a short number too, and then they came back to beat Golden State outright. They actually played well, Gabe. I know those numbers look short, but it's there for a reason because I think you believe that they can win the game. I know you're not getting a lot, but 3.5 against Philadelphia, Orlando wins these type of games. So, but I like that where you're going. If you don't feel it, pass it. No need to bet it if you don't like it.
Which leads us in to the Toronto Raptors. I got to tell you, the Raptors seem to be on TV every night. It's funny.
Yeah, yeah. They're popular.
They're never on TV. Like, yeah, man, they're the TV game of the night again tonight. So they get the Houston Rockets tonight. Houston beat them the last time they played 121-119. The total was identical, 228, and it went over the number. Looking at this game here tonight, I'm sort of tempted by the over. I think there will be quite a quick pace to this basketball game tonight, but I think the Raptors win this game tonight, Ken. Although I'm always wrong. I said I would never bet on a Houston Rocket game for or against ever again, but I'm doing it.
That's going to happen.
Taking the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah. I'm never going to bet a Houston Rocket game again. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Well, I'm not going to bet a lead against the Raptors.
Exactly. That's another thing. Yeah, the line's gone down to opened up Toronto 4 down to 3. I also like when you go on the consensus boards, people believe in Houston tonight. Maybe people are getting off Toronto. Houston is, you said it, Toronto's on TV a lot, but Houston gave very popular team with James Harden. People, casual bettors. Ooh, the Rockets. Yeah, okay. You know what I mean?
line. Toronto only laying 3 in this game. I believe in the Raptors as well. 20-6 at home. Even the ATS record at home, we talked about, they win games, but this one's a short number, so it's not like they have to cover 6.5, 7, you know, 3. You could put them in the money line. That's very, very low at that. Last 10, they're 3-7 ATS, but the Rockets are only, you know, what are they? 4-5-1. So they're not really lighting up the world as well. So I like the Raptors.
The Raptors have been money burners. That's why people are betting against them. But it's a short number at 3. It's a different situation. Yes. The Raptors do get up for games against good teams. And look, the Raptors are 1-7, Cam, against the spread in their last 8. 3-7 against the spread in their last 10. It's been a common theme with them. But honestly, anyone that pays attention to this stuff would realize, like, look, like the Oklahoma City Thunder have been winning games. They're 0-7 against the spread their last 7 games. The Golden State Warriors have been torching money, Cam. Like, they never cover. like same thing, but they win. You know what I mean? Like, they're like 8-2 straight up in their last 10, and same with see what the Warriors are. They're in like
they're
the same
1-9
thing as the Raptors.
1-9 ATS in their last 10.
Yeah, wow. 6-4 straight up, 1-9, Cam.
Yep.
And you know what? They're going to cover tonight. The price is too short at 6.5 against the
Boston's a drain
Boston
wreck.
Celtic team.
I'll tell you one thing. They might wake up soon, but not with my money. I have to see some type of pattern there. There's a bad mojo on that team, bad chemistry with Irving and other guys. It's just not cool right now in Boston. And Golden State, yeah, that line opened up at 9 down to 6.5. Oh, man. Yeah, Golden State are nothing for me.
Oh, I'm taking the Warriors. We're taking the Warriors. We're going to take the Raptors. I don't like laying 50 cents, but, you know, last time they played, it was a two-point game, and it could be close. Last time they played, it was a two-point game, and the Raptors game against the Pistons went to overtime the other night. The night before that, or the game before that, whatever it was, Sunday or Monday, against the Blazers, Cam, Raptors won by, like, 2. You know, there's been a lot of close shaves and battles. You know, we're at that time of the year now in the NBA. I don't want to lay 3. I know I'll get screwed. The Raptors will win by 2 or 3, and I'll be pissed. I didn't lay the money line. I'm doing the money line.
And the last time the Raptors played Houston, remember the Raptors played like junk, got really, really, this was in Houston, got really far behind in the game, had a terrific fourth quarter, almost came back for a miracle comeback to lose like a heartbreaker in that game. So I think the Raptors also have a little revenge on their minds. It will be tight, though. It's hard to shut down Harden in that team. Houston's a scoring machine, but I'm with you, Gabe. I think they win the game. I'm not sure if they're going to win by 4 or more, but I believe they will win the game.
All right, so we have the votes keep on piling in here for our poll question as far as the underdogs tonight. 158 now, Cam. 158.
Ooh, yeah.
Responses.
People are betting hockey. They're betting
13%. 13%. I asked what the best dog was. I didn't put the Panthers on the list either. But,
I like the Panthers.
Or the Red Wings, too. But I said Senators. Senators plus 260 versus Islanders, 13%. Jets plus 170 versus Tampa Bay, 42%. Minnesota Wild plus 155 versus the Preds, 25%. Devils plus 210 versus Columbus, 20%. Up to 163 responses now. So we're going to get a pretty big body of work here. Seems like people think the Jets. I don't know why people like to pick on Tampa so much.
I'm not picking on
50
Tampa.
50-12.
Yeah, I'm not picking on them. Also, the Jets, if the Jets didn't win that game against Columbus, Gabe, where I thought they were pretty fortunate to win that game after getting outplayed, I think I like Tampa Bay to win this game tonight. They also know that the Jets are a good team. They'll put in a good effort. No, I don't like the Jets as my dog tonight. I do like where you're going with Minnesota, and I think Ottawa could be a very dangerous monster pooch.
Steel City Steve actually sent me a tweet. It was it's freaking hilarious. It's from Family Guy. I sent it to Yang. Do we have the clip here? It's just a quick little. So basically, the video guys. I don't know how I've never seen this before, and I'm not a massive Family Guy fan, but I've seen quite a few episodes of it, and or at least I figured it's about sports betting. I would have seen this, but. Peter Griffin walks into a sports book here. It's freaking hilarious. Do we have, can roll the tape, Yang, if you can. Yang? I guess we'll get back to that in a second.
I'm Peter Griffin. I'm walking into a sports book. I'll take the New England Patriots, please, and a Pawtucket ale.
I think Yang might That's be cutting up the Patriot. Interview. Or
yeah, he might be doing something like
that we have coming up on the other side.
Excellent point. Yeah, he might be, you know, might have his headphones on there. So, yeah, I watch a lot of Family Guy, too. Actually crazy. The Simpsons episode with the Super Bowl and with Dolly Parton and where Homer meets the guy in the used car lot was on the other night, too. Classic episode where they go to Super Bowl jail with Rupert Murdoch and everything. Can't get enough of those old episodes. Great stuff. These Super Bowl tickets appear to be on crackers.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So, these are forgeries, and they appear to be on crackers. I love it. It's the best.
It's good. Now, Family Guy's a good show. It's just a bunch of one-liners, right? It's a bunch of one-liners sort of thrown together one after another. So, Yang, do we have – are you there, Yang? I swear to God, it's like we sit here alone sometimes.
We're here.
Are we talking like just in the space here?
Hello?
There's the break.
Yeah, it's Goodfellas.
It's not the clip we wanted to play, but nevertheless. Crazy thing is, I sent this. All right, I guess we'll try to play this clip, I don't know, at some point.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Just thought of Disco Inferno.
Oh,
he was great.
Burn.
Hey, everybody comes in dancing. Disco. Those WCW era, before WCW got big. You know, another one was my favorite too. Smiling Norman Smiley.
Oh man.
Yeah, he was good too. Like they had like the cheesiest good characters. Like
well, good guys.
The Disco Inferno.
It's a classic.
It's great. It's a great gimmick. Great gimmick. Disco Inferno. It's funny. I just stumbled upon most overrated wrestlers of all time.
Ooh.
Who do you think? Who's a wrestler that's popular that you think this guy sucks? I don't know why he's so popular.
Wow. Like Razor Ramon, like one of those guys.
All right. I was going to say John Cena always, but all right. We've got let's talk some Arizona Cardinal football. That's what happens. King Kong Bundy dies. We're all going down memory lane. It's funny, too. Sean just told me Bob's on the line. I'm thinking, what, Bob's picks of the day? But no, it's Bob from it's As Bob. We're talking Arizona Cardinal football. Let's do this thing. Good morning, Bob. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good stuff. Yeah, we have a regular caller named Bob, so I would have made you hold like the last 20 seconds. Yeah, King Kong Bundy passed away earlier or late last night.
Oh,
so.
Man. Oh, boy.
Yeah, hard not to like King Kong Bundy, isn't it?
Yeah. That's a shock.
Yeah.
61.
So, will it be a shock? For the record, my colleague here, Joe Ranieri, and I'm Gabriel Moretzi. He thinks that it's a big mistake that Kyler Murray is way, way overrated and that it's going to be a mistake to throw Josh Rosen under the bus if it goes down like this. It hasn't gone down like this yet, but what's your feeling on this? And what's the deal with Josh Rosen right now? It's kind of an awkward situation for everybody, isn't it, right now? We've been talking about the Lakers all morning being awkward. This is pretty awkward, too.
Yeah, it is awkward. I'll tell you what I really believe is the truth, and you're not going to hear a lot of truthisms because nobody knows. And the truth is, I don't think the Cardinals have a clue what they're going to do with number one just yet. It's 2 months out. It just doesn't seem sensical that they would decide this early in the process, after just having met some of these guys for the first time personally, that they have any clue yet. They haven't even done their draft board yet. And, you know, that's about 250 to 300 guys, or then they're going to slice that up and narrow it down. And that's not going to be done until 2 weeks before the draft, if then. So everyone's up in arms, you know, what they're going to go for Kyler. No, they're not. They haven't done anything yet. They're just, they're doing their due diligence. It's smart. Build that value and that pickup. Make it worth a lot more than we all thought it was going to be, because this is not one of those drafts where there's this ginormous consensus number one superstar. There's a lot of guys who look good, who have potential, who might develop into something interestingly great. We just don't know. So I think that they're being smart, but trust me, guys, they don't know what they're doing yet.
That does not surprise me at all. I mean, for a copycat league, Bob, you would think that the Cardinals as an organization, any organization, you realize that, listen, you traded up, you went and got a quarterback last year. Rookie seasons are never really great for rookie quarterbacks. We start to see the progress in year two and three, but really the whole point is build an offensive line. Build the team from the inside out to the sidelines where the wide receivers are. I mean, it's a giant risk to go, all right, I got this number one pick here, and instead of getting it on a difference maker, on the defense, we're going to take a shot on another quarterback that may not work. I mean, that could set the franchise back years.
Well, I mean, think of what they did with their coach. I mean, they took a giant leap of faith with Cliff Kingsbury, right? That's totally the opposite of what anyone thought they would do initially. And if the connection wasn't there between he and Kyler Murray, we wouldn't be having this talk. Mm-hmm. And the thing that makes it more plausible, not only did they go outside the box in this coaching hire, if you remember when Russell Wilson was drafted, a lot of teams didn't do their homework, and they decided that size was the measurable that was going to be the do-or-die factor. And the Cardinals admittedly did not have Russell Wilson high anywhere on their draft board of quarterback possibilities, even though they were right in the middle of a dearth of not having anyone for a long time. They got lucky with Kurt Warner. They got lucky with Carson Palmer, but they had nothing going on. And Steve Keim to this day said it was a chicken bleep idea of me not to do it, that he didn't have the quote balls to pull that trade off. And he said, that'll never happen again. And that added more fuel to this fire when you add that with the soundbite of Kingsbury in October saying, if I had the number one pick, I'd take him right now. And that was gamesmanship then. And it just brings it all together and ties it up and has made this story impossible to go away. The good news is Kyler Murray is going to go really high in this draft. And somebody, we're going to find out. And somebody might have big regrets about not drafting him.
So what is it March 13th is pro day? I believe that's the date, right?
Yeah, it is.
It is a circus in Norman.
Week from Wednesday, it sure is going to be, right?
It could be a circus. And as you stated, it's a damned if you do and damned if you don't. I get it, right, Joe. But, you know, we talked about this earlier in the week too, Bob, which you know, what difference does it make? Ooh, that his height was over 5'10", and the 5'10" won. I think because a lot of GMs can justify it after the fact, and are almost damned if they damned if they don't. Their owner, you left this kid on the board, he starts lighting it up like Mahomes. You left this superstar kid at ESPN talks about 24/7 on the board. You got to be kidding me. Or you took a chance. I think they're going to err on the air of, I got to take this kid, and I'm not going to be the one to let him go. But it's all speculation. So let me ask you something that's substantive here about, it's not speculation. It's your opinion on Josh Rosen. And Joe just brought it up. You can't judge a quarterback after a year. He changed coordinators. Right. The coaching situation wasn't the best. It seemed, am I right to say that when Leftwich took over, that Rosen, you know, started to become more of an NFL quarterback? What did you see with Josh Rosen? And I'll throw the old third round rumor out there. But what's your take on Josh Rosen?
Yeah, you know, look, he had developmental issues because of the players he was playing around. He had no offensive line. They had 10 different starting line combinations which is unheard of. Nobody lasted the year except for the rookie center who wasn't supposed to start and was the only one that lasted the entire year. He could never get the running game going. He had no receiver help behind Larry Fitzgerald and another rookie, Christian Kirk. Nobody else. The tight ends didn't do jack. Play calling was atrocious. They did lose games by they got blown out a few times. But for the most part, they were competitive. And Josh took too many steps backwards, not because of just him, but of the play calling, everything else I just said. Now, that being said, they do love the toughness he showed. He got hit an awful lot. He got up from every hit. He showed good body language in times of frustration when they got blown out by 30 or more a few times. He kept the stuff together. He became a leader. He was more vocal. Some of the plays, you could see the talents there. But like I said, he took too many steps backwards in the terms of, is he an NFL quarterback? He could be. He's going to be probably, yeah. But he just didn't take enough positive forward steps because of who he was playing with.
And I'm thinking, Bob, we could say the same thing about Jared Goff after year one, too, right? I mean, I think it's a very similar situation where everyone's screaming, well, Kingsbury's a system guy. He's got to get his guy. Well, you know, that Jared Goff was not Sean McVay's guy, but good coaches will find a way to make these guys productive.
That's exactly right. And that's something that Cliff has said. He's not going to formulate this, the players to the scheme. He's going to formulate the scheme around the players. It all starts with them. He's said a number of things he likes about Josh. The intelligence factor, the guys can't be dissuaded here. This kid is incredibly smart. He asks the right questions. He's engaged. He's thoroughly engaged, almost ad nauseum when it comes to wanting to know why we're doing things this way. Every play, he won't call a play if he doesn't understand the concepts behind what it's supposed to do, where it spreads, what it leads to, and why then and now. And that's something that great quarterbacks do, and they study that, they learn that. It's Peyton Manning type of a mental skill set that this coaching staff is raved about with Josh. And yet we don't know if he's going to be here. Is he worth more than a third-round pick? You're damn right he is.
Yeah.
I don't get that garbage at all. You don't trade up five spots in last year's first-round pick to a guy who's supposed to be the most NFL-ready quarterback. And now you tell me a year later he's worth a third-round pick? If they trade him, and they're not going to, guys, they're going to get a first-round pick for Josh Rosen.
I was kidding earlier. I don't own an NFL team. I don't have a draft pick, but I'd give a third-round pick right now just to get Josh Rosen to be my co-host along with Joe.
It's going to cost more than that.
I know. Like if you're the New York Giants or something, you'd be like, yeah, sold. All right, let's go. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll jump in. Listen, we've only got 2 minutes here or a minute or something, but you raise a good point, Joe Ranieri, and Bob, I'll throw it to you as well, is that you talk about systems, and that's the biggest beef that I have with coordinators, that their offense will suck, and then after they'll basically say, wow, the players aren't executing. And you're giving them your book. You're not changing anything, and you're not running an offense that's tailor-made to the talent that you have. And as far as all the system is concerned, I remember when Chip Kelly came into the NFL, didn't it seem like, Bob, oh, my God, Colin Kaepernick and Chip Kelly's system? This is going to be unbelievable. Yeah, it was Nick Foles that threw 27 touchdowns and 2 picks in his system.
Yeah. Well, you know, this form of offense has been integrated into the league for the last 5 to 10 years in various forms and shapes and disguises. And that's something that it's going to be really curious to see just how much of an air raid this thing actually becomes. The sense I'm getting directly, and this is public comments during interviews, not off the record, we're going to run the ball a lot more than anybody out there thinks. This system isn't throw.
What does David Johnson have left? And we got 30 seconds
here. Oh, he's got a lot left.
Does he?
Yeah, he's got a lot left. I think this kid in this system is going to thrive. I'll go out and say it. With Gurley's knee injury, I think this is going to be your Pro Bowl running back out of the NFC. I really believe that.
Because I love him.
All pro.
He just couldn't get it good last year.
Passes.
They couldn't get him the ball.
Well, he didn't have an offensive line.
Yeah. Exactly. 10 offensive lines.
He didn't have an
starting
at all. Yeah.
Interesting. Thanks, Bob. Thanks for the time.
All right, guys. Thank you for
having
me.
Appreciate it.
So he's saying that David Johnson's going to be back in play next year for fantasy football players, too, because that's a big key. I mean, we're talking about somebody who's one of the best players in the NFL a couple of years ago, Joe, and David Johnson.
Not if they don't fix the offensive line. You can't do that if you're going to waste the first pick on a new quarterback that's, you know, let's keep our fingers crossed and hope he's tall enough.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? The beautiful thing is I have a feeling you and I are going to have more time to talk about Kyler Murray.
Yes. I love the fact that he also says, guys, trust me, they don't know what the hell they're doing.
No, I've always said I like his honesty with that, too, in the media.
Yes.
I hate that, too, when... You know, with the other day when Anthony Davis, the Anthony Davis stuff. Oh, now Klay Thompson tells people that, now he'll go to the Lakers. Yeah, I know. Because Klay Thompson got on the phone and called Windhorse at ESPN and said, hey, I see Anthony Davis. I'm going to tell you my plans. Like you said, I say this too about teams in the draft. They don't know who they're taking. They don't know who they're taking 10 minutes before they take them sometimes.
Yep.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Joe Ranieri. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Holly Robinson, Pete. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Whether or not you're on your own.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
We're going clubbing. Game time decisions. Red Heat Rage Radio. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Gabriel Morenzi. Good job, Yang, slinging the tape together. Seems, I don't know, I do think Kyler Murray is going to go first overall. Now we see a report on CBSSports.com popping up that one team says that they were approached by the Cardinals about Josh Rosen. So, like I said, I think it's a fluid situation. I think they need to feel out what the market actually is for Josh Rosen, because I don't think they want to get ripped off for a third-round pick just because Kurt Warner said he's worth a third-round pick. But I said earlier... one of the funniest, there's a great clip here. Sometimes sports bettors, we all feel the same way. Where it's like, yeah, whatever, man. Just take my money because I'm about to lose anyway. So here's Peter Griffin walking into a sports book, and he's walking up to the window here.
Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
That's great, man. That's so good.
Let's just get go up to the window here and take it.
Pick a team?
Don't forget to take it back. Yeah, just take it. Just take it. I mean, that's what we do. That's almost sports. It's almost sports betting in a nutshell. Right there. Yeah, that's some good stuff. It's funny if you see it, too. I retweeted it, Cam. If you see the visual with it, just makes it a little better. But, yeah, the audio is still pretty good. audio is still pretty good. All right.
Love Peter.
So,
I'm ready to rock. I'm just working. Yeah, I'm working on your stuff, buddy. Almost. I'm getting very fast. Very fast. Shit. I took a keyboarding course when I was younger, Gabe. Still got it. So we're ready to rock. Done. That's fast.
Game time decision.
What the hell is going on?
Level 3 coming up.